Anyway, if you go to your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, I want to talk about a blessed nation. Amen? A blessed nation. Would that, it's appropriate to talk about a blessed nation. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And I want to mention some things why it's important to understand that we are a blessed nation. A very blessed nation. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and 2, I'm going to read the New Living Translation. I don't know why I've got it there, but I thought I put the New King James on there. But anyway, why don't we just put the King James there first, and then we can go to the other version. Let's go to our screens together. If you don't have a Bible, you can look at the screen, take notes. We talk about a blessed nation. And Paul's telling the church here at, actually talking to Timothy, writing a letter to Timothy. This is a letter to Timothy, his protege, a guy that he was training along as he was going along in ministry. And there was a special relationship there that God set up. And God wanted to give this apostolic lead to a young man, a young pastor, who was pastored actually in Ephesus, I understand. Things that he did with apostles there. I guess he helped in many, many ways. And he wrote a letter to this man. And he said, I exhort, therefore, first of all, that's the number one thing you can do, is supplications. That's, you know, prayers that you really are serious about. Supplications and prayers, different kinds of prayers, intercessions. And giving of thanks. I want to focus on the giving of thanks part this morning. Giving thanks made for all men. I want to just say something here. And that is, during the time that Paul was writing this letter, there was no Christians that were heads of states, born-again people, that was godly people. I'm sure they were good men, but as far as understanding God, following God in these times, I believe I read somewhere, during that time, Nero was the head of the Roman government, and I can be corrected on that. But all those guys there, the Roman guys, were leaders, were not Christian. And so Paul, I want to make this point, because Paul asked the church, Timothy, and the church, and to us today, that no matter what the government is, if it's orange, red, or blue, whatever color stripe you have as a favorite for a leader, or if you vote for characters, and no matter who it is, that if we pray, God would intervene. We are the people, you know, that make the difference. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world, and we are the ones who are grabbing the hand of God and also the leaders to help our leadership here. We're the only legitimate, according to God, the ones who can steer this area. And many men of God who went on before us have said that God spoke to them many times, that saying that you are responsible for what happens in the government. And I believe sometimes you look at, you know, different things that go on in our society, that people do more marching than praying. Amen. And we need to do some marching, but that's not all we should do. And we need to do it for the right reasons. Amen. Right? So, understand this, the background of the scripture, that during this time, the people were not Christians. So whether you like the prime minister or not, it's your duty to pray for the prime minister. Amen. Amen. Right? Whether you like a certain party or not, you don't just favor the party. You pray for God's will, and you pray for their health, and you pray for their welfare, protection. Amen. You pray for their intelligence, their wisdom, and decision-making, and whoever influences them. We need to pray for those things. Amen. Okay? So that's important for us. Our job is to pray for them. And so it says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, before you pray for yourself, that you need to pray for these people. That intercessions and so on. And supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Verse 2 says, for kings, that's, you know, we don't have a king, but we do have a prime minister. In our city, we have our mayor. He's the leader, the head of this state here in this city. He's the head of this area. And we need to pray for him. I was telling the deputy mayor last week when we were on our march for in the orange shirt day, you know, Every Child Matters. And so I was talking to the deputy mayor, and we happened to walk all the way back from the place where we were all the way back to the place where we parked. And we talked for quite a bit, and she's from this area of the city. Our deputy mayor, or happened to be deputy mayor that day, and she said she went to this building for school. And I told her what we did to this building, and that we will continue to pray for her and the rest of them, and she could come and visit us and become one of us. Amen. Be born again. And so he says we need to pray for kings and for all that are in authority. You know, he's talking about those who are ruling, those who are people who are doing things that they'll keep our, you know, order in our society, and those that make decisions, important decisions for us, for our behalf. And that we may lead quiet and peaceful lives in all godliness and honesty. So we need to pray this so that we can lead, we can be people that, you know, we don't have unrest in our society, that we don't have stuff going on in our streets, and, you know, anarchy and people fighting and mad and different things. You know, it can get out of hand pretty quick, right? You know, you notice that if we allowed Pastor Ken come up here, it could be out of hand really quickly. You know, so anyway, it's important that we pray for him. And me and Pastor, especially Pastor Steve, you know, we need to pray for him. Praise God. Amen. So pray for all the leaders, and spiritually, we're your leaders. You know, that's political. We're spiritually going to lead, and we're responsible. And somebody told Brother Hagin one time, you know, you're responsible for everything you pray, you preach about. He said, yeah, you're responsible for everything we preach about too. Doing the same thing, you know. So we need to be able to pray, and that's what we have to do. And I'm trying to demonstrate to pray every Sunday when I come. I try to cover that different area, maybe all the governments or just at least one part of the government. So we want you to pray as well. So point is, let us offer prayers of thanksgiving this morning on behalf of all our leadership. And instead of making judgmental remarks and critical statements of our leaders, we call those things which be not as though they were. We call it the way we believe it's going to be, because that's what we want. We want peace in our city. We want people to work together. We don't want divisions. We don't want Native people against Indigenous people. We don't want you know what I'm talking about? There's that going on, but we want everybody to work together. You know? What if all the Italians rise up? Huh? You don't want that. You'll have no buildings left at the place. You'll have no, Finnish people. Where are we going to get pancakes from? That's just a joke. Amen. I mean, there's all kinds of people in this world. We need to pray that we think right. Amen? So that's what we want. We appreciate every nation and the people, even the Ukrainians, brother. Praise God. We thank God that we live in a peaceful nation. We hear every day that there are wars around the world, that's going on around the world. People being bombed while they're sleeping, while they're shopping, while they're going to work. Army tanks and soldiers everywhere, on the streets with masks and guns and riots going on everywhere. We live in a peaceful city. We live in a peaceful nation. We don't have tanks going around, right? We don't have soldiers everywhere. And so we thank God for that. We need to praise God for that happening. People are coming here from other countries because they have that in their nation, in their city. People are starving in some places. People have big, there's some nations that have big armies, but all their people are starving. And we need to pray for our leadership. Pray for those people as well. People being killed daily. And I heard, we see what's going on in Ukraine and in Israel yesterday. I heard what was going on back there. The president, he said, this is war, you know, on the Hamas. There's war going on. And we need to pray for the peace of in the world here. Jesus is coming back and things are getting hot. And we need to pray for the word of God to go out. So on this Thanksgiving weekend and Sunday morning, we pray to give God thanks for our leadership by faith. And let's give thanks that his plan, you know, God has a plan. He always had a plan for Israel. He had a plan for the nations. God has a plan for Canada. God has a plan for this city. There's a plan for us. Don't you think other than that. God has a plan. And Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, to give you a future and a hope. Plans not for disaster, but to give you a wonderful future. God told that to those people in Israel who were captured in a foreign land. And God has a plan for every one of us this morning. He has a plan for your family. Don't you give up one bit on your family. Like, I know somebody might be out there somewhere, and they're away from God as far as they can be. But, you know, Billy Graham says, after your mom dies and your dad dies, that prayer that you prayed for your loved one out there on the street, that prayer is still going on. It's still going on. Even if you die, that prayer is still there. God never forgets that prayer. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Thank God. So we're going to lift up our thanksgiving that his will, his plans, his purposes be done. Prayer changes things. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 32, I'm reading the New Living Translation here. It says, Finally Abraham said, Lord, please don't be angry with me if I speak one more time. Suppose 10 are found here, there. The Lord replied, then I will not destroy it for thy sake of 10. And here, Abraham was making intercession as you read the whole story behind there, that God said, I'm going to destroy the city because there's a wicked city going on there. And Abraham went to God. He says, please don't destroy that city. Will you destroy that city even if there's righteous people in it? And so he had the intercession. He made intercession there. So thank God for his plans, his purposes, his will. In the Old Testament, one righteous man made prayer, like this man Abraham, prayed for a wicked city, that God wouldn't destroy it. It took one man to pray. It didn't take a whole nation of people, but it took one person to pray. And God will hear one person when they pray. One person. One person. And you imagine that. He said, if two shall agree on earth, of touching anything, it shall be done. Matthew 18:19. Amen? Over here, we see in the Old Testament, when righteous men prayed, God saved the wicked city. He wouldn't destroy it, they said. So in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible says here, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. The King James says, oh, it says over the those who do right. That's not the literal translation. It says the righteous. The King James says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. The righteous are the ones who's been declared right standing before God. You know, you have, you know, here's something I'm thinking about yesterday. The Lord was speaking this to my heart, and I really thought about it, and I read it so many times, and yet, you know, you could know something in your head, but don't really register here. It's when you realize it in here, and when you meditate on it, it becomes real to you. Right now, if you're born again, you are without blemish. You're a holy and righteous before God. There's not a blemish on you right now because of Jesus Christ. Your head will tell you something different. And I was thinking about that scripture the other day and know that, you know, you're born again. Jesus has declared you righteous. The Bible says 2 Corinthians 5:21, I think it is there. It says that he became sin for us, or the sin offering for us, that we might become the righteousness of God and in Christ Jesus. Right now, you are righteous. What does that mean? It means right now, you'll never be judged for anything you do. You will not stand before God, and God will judge you. You are not guilty right now. Even though you might feel guilty because of your mind, if you're not renewed, you're not guilty right now before God. You're guiltless. That's what it says in the scripture, that because of Jesus, you're guiltless. You're not going to be judged right now. You're not judged. The devil might judge you. If you make mistakes, the devil might judge you, but you won't be judged for it. You might not feel pure, but you're pure. It has nothing to do with you, how you feel. See, this is what we need to tell people. This is what we need to tell churches. Pastors need to tell people that that's what they are. Amen. Not you, you know, rotten sinner, and you ought to get saved again. It's when we begin to teach people and tell them who they are in Christ that they'll rise up. Amen. And be the kind of people who they are. Like, you're not probably not perfect like, you know, some of us are. You know, I'm joking about that, right? Because, you know, we're all in the same boat. Because somebody said the other day, yeah, but there's some people that have different boats. You know, but we're you know, we you know, in the same category. Jesus saved us. It's the same blood washed you, washed me. We're cleansed. So the Bible says about the righteous, you know, in Romans 5, it says that you became right with God. And I thought about this the other day, that, you know, I was born again. I'm not born again, but before I was born again, I was in a program trying to stay sober, trying to stay clean for about 4.5 years of going to meetings almost every day, every weekend, 5 days a week at least for the week. And I was afraid that I might go back to using again. But back out there, I hate going to jails and detoxes and emergency places and different things, you know, sleeping here and there, waking up, whatever, wherever. You know, this is me. I'm 67 years old. I don't even, you know, I don't even feel like it was me. Oh, it wasn't me, right? That old man is dead, right? So, you know, there's so many things going through my mind. I'm thinking about this thing, though. Anyway, it's wonderful to be saved, isn't it? Wonderful to be saved, and God did it, you know what they said when the four Hebrew children went into the fiery furnace, they went into the fire, they never got burned, and when they came out, they were alive, they just didn't get nothing burned, and the Bible says they didn't even smell like smoke. So me, it was like I was never burnt. Right? And I don't even smell like smoke. Right? So that's what happens to you when you're born again. It's like it never happened. And I don't want to remember all my scars. Somebody was saying yesterday, well, he's got to go, oh, he's got to, you know, he had a bad past. He's got to remember every detail to be healed. He's got to remember every detail. No, I don't have to remember every detail. The Lord healed me. Why should I remember all that thing? That'll make me sick. So he said, one guy said, I don't even remember, you know, what happened to me back there. Things flash back. They try to ask me questions about my abuse and everything else. And I started thinking about it, and I kind of remembered different things. And he remembered. He said, I don't have to remember that. God gave me the ability to forget about that thing. I want to move on. You know, I've had close friends who were abused sexually in the institution, and it took them a long while. And it had they given themselves over to Jesus 100%, they would have been really, really well. But if you keep going back in there and try to dig up stuff, I could feel just as bad as I did back then if I went back and think about it all the time. So there's a reason why you forget about those things. And so what we have to do is to remember, and what I was going to talk about is Romans chapter 5. I said, when I was back living over there and I was sober for all those years, and going to church at the same time. I was going to church every Sunday and go to meetings every day, read my big book and get on my knees and pray every morning and every night. And inside me, I had no peace. And Billy Graham says, if you want peace with God, and the bell rang. That's what I did. I want peace with God. I want peace with my Maker. He said, the Bible says if you come to Jesus, you can find peace with God. I wanted to have peace with God. The Bible says in Colossians that God made peace with you through his Son, Jesus Christ. And you have peace with God right now. Right? And so I said, God, I don't have any peace. I don't have any assurance that I'm safe. I want to be saved. And I prayed the prayer of salvation, got born again, and cried like a baby. And got happy for several weeks until it started to run dry a little bit. They said to us, went to a church, you know, I thought they'd all be happy. I was just so happy. I told everybody, I'm born again, I'm saved, you know, yeah, you know. And they said, oh, you'll be like us soon. I said, no, I don't want to be like you. Anyways, sorry for taking that long journey, but we go back to our notes over here. So, the Bible says this is how we got started. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. That's 1 Peter 3:12 in the King James Version. The Lord's eyes are over the righteous. Do you know right now that God's looking at you right now? He sees you in church this morning. He saw what you did last night. You know? And he heard everything. Notice this, he says here, and his ears are open to their prayers. So God hears your prayers. If you're righteous, if you become righteous before God because of the blood of Jesus, God will see you and hear your prayers. Amen. That's what it says here. But the Lord turns his face, the Bible says, against those who do evil. Over in James chapter 5, verse 16 to 18 here, James talks about a righteous man. He compares us with the man Elijah, who was a prophet of God. And, we know that the prophet was not perfect. You know, he had lots of fears and he didn't even believe sometimes. But, God helped him. And just like you and me. And sometimes we believe strong, sometimes we don't. We struggle sometimes. We get back on the believing track again and we move on ahead. And here it says here, confess your sins to each other, it says here in the NLT, James 5:16. And pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer, or the King James says, the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much, the King James says. Right? It produces great power, it says, the New Living says, it produces wonderful results. In the New Living, it says in verse 17, Elijah was as human as we are. And yet he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall. None fell for 3.5 years. When he prayed again, the sky sent rain and the earth began to yield its crops. This righteous man's prayer even affected the weather. It was actually, I know God wanted to send rain because of the crops and so on. And God wanted to send rain at the exact time when they should have rain and when they shouldn't have rain. And he prayed. You think God will, God's will is going on, but we have someone who's trying to prevent the will of God to happen. God has already had a plan for this world. God already had a plan for you, but there is an enemy who's trying to stop you. He's trying to stop what's going on, and that's why when we pray, we can avert disaster, avoid disaster, and we can have help coming our way when we pray. And he says again, the Bible says that Peter says, God hears and sees the righteous man when he prays. James, another apostle, says the prayer of a righteous man produces wonderful results or releases tremendous power. When we pray, we release tremendous power and wonderful results will happen. As a righteous person, you say, little old me, I can change the nation. Yesterday, listen to me. I was praying yesterday, I was in my closet yesterday, and I started kicking into prayer, and I started praying for Israel. Then lo and behold, last night I saw all that was going on. My sister calls me. She says, you know what's happening in Israel? I said, what's happening in Israel? He said, there's a war going on. The president declared war. On who? I said. Well, I try to put it on the TV. Nothing going on except sports. And then check different things. You can't check in on social media because there's... You can't have any news on there anymore. So one guy I called Pastor Ken. No, I said, no, it's good. No, I didn't call him. No, I discovered I was praying for Israel. Out of my spirit, begin to pray. I didn't know what was going on there. You know, the Lord will cause you to pray for things in your prayer time that you never dreamt of. And as I mentioned to you, I've been praying for different things. It says in the scripture, pray for the peace of Israel. I was reading something the other morning that God picked one man. His name was Abraham. And Abraham, out of Abraham, grew a nation. A nation came out of that called Israel. And God wanted to show the whole world who he was, so he called this nation, this one man called Abraham. His name was Abram first, and God changed his name to Abraham, a man of a father of many nations, he called him. And he didn't have any children, right? God called him until he was really old until this happened, right? He had followed God. And it's not the fact, people don't understand the Bible. They never read the Bible. They don't study the Bible. So they comment all kinds of stuff. They say all kinds of things. They never read the Bible. In fact, the Bible says that people who are not born again, they don't understand the Bible. They can't understand the Bible. They're natural people. It's a spiritual book. And if you become born again, you will understand the Bible because you become spiritual. On the inside of you, God lives inside of you, and the Holy Spirit comes in you, your teacher, and he reveals things to you. Yeah. Right? That's what happened. That's right. And the Bible says, you read 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2 there, it says that people who are not born again, they don't understand spiritual things. They don't understand the Bible. And so for you and I to fight with someone, argue with someone who's not a Christian, it's fruitless, and you ought not to argue with someone like that. Just cease your discussions with that person who's not born again. Don't even bother with it. In fact, some people who are Christians, don't even bother with them because they're just as bad because they're carnal people. They don't understand the Bible. Okay? So thank God that we have Holy Spirit to help us. So God will hear your prayer. And God will move on your behalf because you prayed, little old you. You say, you mean me? Yeah, you can shake a nation. If Abraham, one man, can pray and change things, a city, God can change you. Amen. And change the nation. Didn't he change you?
Yes.
Are you still the same you were?
No.
Same little person you were before? I was going to say something else, but not appropriate. On TV especially, and in church too. You can't say things in church sometimes. But outside the church, you can see a lot of things. But God hears you, right? So I know some of you are wonderful, beautiful people. Praise God. So how's the new house come along? Well, you never called me. We're gonna come anyway. Yeah, you're gonna come anyway. I know where you live. I know your number. I know various people who live there. Yeah. I know where you live. I know your postal code. I know everything. I'll just say, oh, I was just in the area. Oh, separate day, man. That's how niche people are. Yeah? I remember years ago, my wife and I visited Ed Wesley and his wife on the reserve. And the very first time, we were so happy with the visit to my cousin on the res, you know. You take a white girl in the res, it's a different story. So anyway, she went there and he said, okay, you stay in this room here and so on. And it was 11 o'clock at night. And my wife noticed, who are these strange people keep coming in? And they go to the fridge and they're eating. Well, that's how it is at the res. They just come in all hours of night. If you're cousins, right? Your cousins, and you can come in and eat anytime you want. So that's what we're going to do with you. Okay. Okay. So, amen. All right, you keep it full. So we do live in a blessed nation, and we're blessed people. We must pray for our nation, our leadership, if we're going to stay blessed and on the right road. God will intervene in the life of a leader even though he's not born again, as we see in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. God will move upon, the Bible says, a leader, even though he's not Christian. We'll see that in Scripture here. God can change the plan of any nation, no matter what the leader is, no matter what kind of color he is, in terms of politically speaking. If he's saved or not saved, God will still move on that leader. So, you know, thank God for righteous leaders. Even righteous leaders can be swayed and make bad decisions. If he's born again, no matter if he's born again or not, he can still be stupid and unwise. Because the Bible tells us, to all of us, do not be unwise, do not be stupid, do not be a fool. God tells us that. So someone who's born again can be unwise and a fool. So we need to pray for people, whether they're believers or not. We can pray and change a nation. The Bible says here in Proverbs chapter 19, 21, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. God has a plan. And when we pray, his word will go forth. His plans will go forth. So, over in Psalm 33, verse 12, the King James says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he had chosen for his own inheritance. Another version says, the New Century Version says, happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his very own. The Amplified says, blessed, happy, fortunate, envied is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen for his heritage. So, as we saw in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and 2, we need to pray for those in authority. Churches should pray instead of doing things that are in the natural. We try to fight naturally. The church people, sometimes leaders, even so-called spiritual leaders, they're fighting naturally. And you can tell in all the, you know, the stuff that goes on. You know there's something that's right there. And God will put you into a place where you can speak when he wants you to. You know, We need to see some things here. When we do pray, Psalm 72:8 says, he shall have dominion, that God will have dominion from sea to sea. I saw that when I was at the parliament buildings. This scripture is written on the walls of the parliament buildings. He shall have dominion from sea to sea. And thank God we can believe that. God will rule through our leadership when we pray. His will shall be manifested. We can't just fight, you know, each other and our leaders carnally or naturally, argue and so on and insult each other. I don't think God wants that. You know, I don't think he wants that. We need to tell the truth. But, you know, the Bible says speak the truth in love, right? And it's a hard thing to do if you're carnal, right? You know, he said, I'm going to tell you something here. I don't really like you. And by the way, this is what I don't like about you. First of all, I don't like that red hat you got on there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Let's look at that verse of scripture. Are you still here? Or are you going to have coffee already? Some of those guys, you sleep pretty good with your eyes wide open. Ephesians 6, 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. You know, you're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we're struggling. Our struggle is with these spiritual entities that's causing a lot of trouble through people in government and different things. That we can't just, if we just get mad at them, it's not gonna work. There's a spiritual force behind that's going on. Right? So when you argue with your wife, go to the bathroom. Say, honey, wait a minute. I got to go to the bathroom. Something's coming up. Right? You haven't had a husband for a long time. I know. Long time to think about that, right? Yeah, you remember those fights. They're lasting long time. You know, bruises can heal up, but sometimes memories don't go away as quickly, right? You know, the Bible teaches us there's a two-tier kingdom. There's a kingdom, there's a spiritual kingdom up there that's trying to rule over here in this world. And there's a kingdom, natural kingdom in this world that the enemy wants to come through those people and rule the world, all of us. So we need to pray. Over here, it shows this whole thing. It says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, the Bible says, right? So, but we know that Jesus defeated those powers. Colossians chapter, you know, I believe it's chapter 2, verse 12, around there. He says that he spoiled principalities. In other words, he demolished them. He reduced them to zero. They're zero as far as you're concerned. And he gave you triumph, right? He gave you victory over them. And so it says here, in Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, I'm going to read the Amplified Classical. He said, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. This was a spiritual entity, a spiritual force that was trying to rule in this nation here over these people. He says here, this angel is talking, for 21 days. And then Michael, the Bible says, then Michael, one of the chief of the celestial princes, came to help me, for I remained there for with the kings of Persia. So Daniel talking about that. There's a prince of Persia, and then there's the kings of Persia. There's a spiritual kingdom, natural kingdom. He says there he was. This angel said, "I was sent there. I was sent when you prayed. I was sent. God sent me. An angel came to bring the message to Daniel. But when the angel was sent from God, there was spiritual forces that was against this angel from God. And the Bible says, angel, that God sent Michael to help this angel to break through. Right? And the guy said, I stood there. I was there with the king of Persia. So we see a double kingdom. And so that's why we need to pray. When we pray, God sends angels. Amen. To break through. For your breakthrough, right? So the prince is the spiritual dark powers of Persia. There was an actual king or kingdom there, presided over that region. And the angel Michael came to help through the intercession of one person. And we need to pray that this happens, that God will send his angels. And we see, you read the Bible, that God sends angels, and they help win wars. And they rescue people, individual people. Rescue people, a number of people. Glory to God. You know, people who've been in accidents, they said that someone woke them up and there was an angel. They come. They help us daily. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 says, are not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to all who are heirs of salvation? So God sends angels for us. God sends angels for you. You need to put your angel to work. Amen. God sends angels to his people. There are angels around you. There's angels in here right now. You can't see them. They're spiritual beings. They're here to help us, to protect us, to lead us in the way we should go by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 11, chapter 1, verse 12 says that, verse 14. The New Living says, Hebrews 1, 14, therefore angels are only servants, spirits are sent to care for people, for the people who will be heirs and inherit salvation. So heirs of salvation, the King James says. So God, because we're heirs, God sends angels to help us. Amen. Angels are ministering spirits. They help us. Oh, yeah. They serve us in the purposes of God. Amen. We need to believe that. We need to envision that. We need to imagine that whenever you're praying for someone, that God's sending an angel there, whoever you're praying for. Amen? And he'll send them there. I'm getting excited. I'm getting goosebumps. I want to run home right now, praise God. Woo! Glory to God. Amen? Angels are here. They're heavenly beings to help us. Are you excited? Who's excited over there? Anybody excited? They're here right now. I'm going to send them to the Leafs this week, this year. Amen? Opening season. I just want to mention here, this is a little break I'm having. It's 3 minutes too. I went to visit the hockey team, the North Stars, on Tuesday or Monday. I got to meet the coach, got to meet all the boys, all the coaches, the trainers, even the bus driver, the owner. And it was nice to meet them. They were treating me very kindly. They said, Roma, Pastor Roma, you're invited anytime in our dressing room. Because it says in there, you can't just come and disturb, can't come any time. But they said, we want you anytime you want to come, just you come in. So he said, now you're part of the team. Boys, Roma is part of the team now. They said, I finally made it junior A. 67 years old. Right? Finally made it to the juniors. I'm going to write home to mom. The head of the Hockey Canada, Ministry of Hockey Canada International, called and said, you know anybody else that'd be interested in it? I said, yeah, I've got somebody right here. He's a hockey guy. And gave him Pastor Steve's name. And Pastor Steve is going to meet the walleye on Tuesday. Thursday? And they're going to eat walleye. They're going to meet. So you pray for him especially. No, you pray for all of us. And I'm praying. You know, the chaplain of the Ice Dogs who beat us twice now, Friday and Saturday, I'm praying against it. Yeah, he said you know, I've been working with the ICE dogs for a while, and he gave me some nice advice and so on. I said, I already know that. So anyway, you want just a little bit more? I got about a minute left. We see here in Acts chapter 12, we're talking about prayer, praying for a nation, praying for thanking God. And when we pray, God moves and God sends angels out. We see here in Acts 12, the book of Acts, we find God sending angels to help protect his people, as he did for the Israelites in the desert to protect them from the enemy. And also protect them from poisonous snakes and creatures and whatever. It's here in Acts chapter 12, verse 7, suddenly there was a bright light in the cell. An angel of the Lord stood before Peter. An angel struck him on the side and awakened him and said, quick, get up. The chains fell off his wrist. I believe that angel just took those off. Verse 9, so Peter left the cell following the angel. But all the time he thought he was having a vision. He didn't realize it was actually happening. They passed the first and second guard posts and came to the iron gate leading to the city, and this opened for them all by itself. So they passed through and started walking down the street, and the angel suddenly left them. He just disappeared. I was thrilled with Mark Davey telling us when he went over to, I forget where it was, Ethiopia somewhere, or some kind of country, African country. And he says, they were, I can't remember which country it was anyway, but anyway, they were there, and they were being persecuted really badly, these Christian people, and the police would follow them, the secret people would follow them, and they would capture them, and they would destroy whatever they had. And so he said, I'm supposed to meet this underground church pastor, and so he went to the area public mall or somewhere, and so he ended up there looking around, and he said, a guy came up to him, he said, I know who you are. First of all, he was startled because he thought this secret policeman following me. He said, I know who you are. Your name is Mark, and you're looking for this church, and you're looking for these people. He said, follow me. He said, he was kind of leery at first. So he said, okay, I'm going to follow and go. So they got on this taxi and just drove here and there and everywhere and got on this one here and went here. And finally, they said, here's the pastor. So they met the pastor. And he introduced them to the pastor. They were going to shake hands, and the guy disappeared, poof, in the middle of the while they were shaking hands. Wow. Ah, Mark David told us that. Just disappeared. I mean, we were there. Remember, Benny Hinn told us we were there, you and I, and he said they were having a bunch of kids, and the guy came up to them, talked to them, and gave them some messages, and all of a sudden, and he disappears. You know, angels are around people. They're at your house, and they're watching over your dogs and stuff. And you wonder why they're getting fat. They're eating all the time. Verse 11 says Peter came to his senses. It's really true. He said, "The Lord has sent His angel to save me from the Herod, for what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me." God can help. Send an angel. Whatever the plan of the devil has and evil against you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. God will send an angel to help you. You might not see them, but they're there. So this prayer was made on behalf of Peter. God sent that angel. God, through people's intercession prayer, God sent that angel, and God's will was have Peter released on the earth so that he could do the ministry. Bring the message. Let's read from verses 1 to 5 of the same chapter. At about the time King Herod Agrippa began to persecute some believers in the church, he had the apostle James, John's brother, killed with a sword. When Herod saw how much it pleased the Jewish people, he also arrested Peter. This took place during the Passover celebration. They imprisoned him, placing him under the guard of the four courts, of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring Peter out to the public trial after the Passover, verse 5. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed earnestly for him. The Bible says. Listen, people, when we pray, we've got to believe. that God's moving on our behalf. He'll move on behalf of your family. He'll move on behalf of you for the city and our officials here. I've seen my prayer. I'm not bragging about it, but I prayed for different things specifically. God led me for a while. I'll just give you one instance. I mean, I know it's after a fact, but I prayed. This is the way I prayed. I said, Lord, if you could do anything, can you just change that plan with our whatever it is, Father? I started praying in different ways first. I said, I know our premier is he made these errors, and he made these he changed his mind. He did these agreements with these people, and he sold out over here, and he's going to build these buildings over here. If you could do anything, God, help him to gain confidence of the people back in Ontario. And I pray that he would be a man of integrity and change his mind. If you can do that, change his mind. Amen. I prayed. And different things like that. And I've seen prayers. I've seen things change. Listen, premiers don't just change in an instant. I know a lot of people have been praying. You've been praying. How many of you been praying about that? About the housing situation there. Yeah? So God will move for you so that it will help a lot of other people. He'll hear your prayer. Let's go ahead and close.